Blog Talk Radio.
Steps to Christ. Chapter 1. God's Love for Man. Nature and revelation alike testify of God's love. Our Father in heaven is the source of life, of wisdom, and of joy. Look at the wonderful and beautiful things of nature. Think of their marvelous adaptation to the needs and happiness not only of man, but of all living creatures. The sunshine and the rain that gladden and refresh the earth, the hills and seas and plains, all speak to us of the Creator's love. It is God who supplies the daily needs of all His creatures. In the beautiful words of the psalmist, "The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16. God made man perfectly holy and happy, and the fair earth, as it came from the Creator's hand, bore no blight of decay or shadow of the curse. It is transgression of God's law, the law of love, that has brought woe and death. Yet, even amid the suffering that results from sin, God's love is revealed. It is written that God cursed the ground for man's sake, Genesis 3:17, the thorn and the thistle, the difficulties and trials that make his life one of toil and care, were appointed for his good as a part of the training needful in God's plan for his uplifting from the ruin and degradation that sin has wrought. The world, though fallen, is not all sorrow and misery. In nature itself are messages of hope and comfort. There are flowers upon the thistles, and the thorns are covered with roses. God is love is written upon every opening bud, upon every spire of springing grass. The lovely birds making the air vocal with their happy songs, the delicately tinted flowers in their perfection perfuming the air, the lofty trees of the forest with their rich foliage of living green, all testify to the tender, fatherly care of our God and to His desire to make His children happy. The Word of God reveals His character. He himself has declared his infinite love and pity. When Moses prayed, "Show me thy glory," the Lord answered, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 and 19. This is his glory. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin." Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. "He is slow to anger, and of great kindness, because he delighteth in mercy." Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. God has bound our hearts to him by unnumbered tokens in heaven and in earth. Through the things of nature and the deepest and tenderest earthly ties that human hearts can know, he has sought to reveal himself to us. Yet these but imperfectly represent his love. Though all these evidences have been given, the enemy of good blinded the minds of men so that they looked upon God with fear. They thought of him as severe and unforgiving. Satan led men to conceive of God as a being whose chief attribute is stern justice, one who is a severe judge, a harsh, exacting creditor. He pictured the Creator as a being who is watching with jealous eye to discern the errors and mistakes of men, that he may visit judgments upon them. It was to remove this dark shadow, by revealing to the world the infinite love of God, that Jesus came to live among men. The Son of God came from heaven to make manifest the Father. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. John chapter 1 verse 18. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Matthew chapter 11 verse 27. When one of the disciples made the request, "Show us the Father," Jesus answered, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. In describing his earthly mission, Jesus said, "The Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Luke chapter 4, verse 18. This was his work. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by Satan. There were whole villages where there was not a moan of sickness in any house, for he had passed through them and healed all their sick. His work gave evidence of his divine anointing. Love, mercy, and compassion were revealed in every act of his life. His heart went out in tender sympathy to the children of men. He took man's nature that he might reach man's wants. The poorest and humblest were not afraid to approach him. Even the little children were attracted to him. They loved to climb upon his knees and gaze into the pensive face, benignant with love. Jesus did not suppress one word of truth, but he uttered it always in love. He exercised the greatest tact and thoughtful, kind attention in his intercourse with people. He was never rude, never needlessly spoke a severe word, never gave needless pain to a sensitive soul. He did not censure human weakness. He spoke the truth, but always in love. He denounced hypocrisy, unbelief, and iniquity, but tears were in his voice as he uttered his scathing rebukes. He wept over Jerusalem, the city he loved, which refused to receive him, the way, the truth, and the life. They had rejected him, the Savior, but he regarded them with pitying tenderness. His life was one of self-denial and thoughtful care for others. Every soul was precious in his eyes. While he ever bore himself with divine dignity, he bowed with the tenderest regard to every member of the family of God. In all men he saw fallen souls whom it was his mission to save. Such is the character of Christ as revealed in his life. This is the character of God. It is from the Father's heart that the streams of divine compassion, manifest in Christ, flow out to the children of men. Jesus, the tender, pitying Savior, was God, manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. It was to redeem us that Jesus lived and suffered and died. He became a man of sorrows, that we might be made partakers of everlasting joy. God permitted his beloved Son, full of grace and truth, to come from a world of indescribable glory to a world marred and blighted with sin, darkened with the shadow of death and the curse. He permitted him to leave the bosom of his love, the adoration of the angels, to suffer shame, insult, humiliation, hatred, and death. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Behold him in the wilderness, in Gethsemane, upon the cross. The spotless Son of God took upon himself the burden of sin. He who had been one with God felt in his soul the awful separation that sin makes between God and man. This wrung from his lips the anguished cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. It was the burden of sin, the sense of its terrible enormity, of its separation of the soul from God, it was this that broke the heart of the Son of God. But this great sacrifice was not made in order to create in the Father's heart a love for man, not to make him willing to save. No, no. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16. The Father loves us, not because of the great propitiation, but he provided the propitiation because he loves us. Christ was the medium through which he could pour out his infinite love upon a fallen world. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, 2 Corinthians 5:19. God suffered with his Son in the agony of Gethsemane, the death of Calvary. The heart of infinite love paid the price of our redemption. Jesus said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. John chapter 10, verse 17. That is, my Father has so loved you that he even loves me more for giving my life to redeem you. In becoming your substitute and surety, by surrendering my life, by taking your liabilities, your transgressions, I am endeared to my Father, for by my sacrifice God can be just and yet the justifier of him who believeth in Jesus. None but the Son of God could accomplish our redemption, for only he who was in the bosom of the Father could declare him. Only he who knew the height and depth of the love of God could make it manifest. Nothing less than the infinite sacrifice made by Christ in behalf of fallen man could express the Father's love to lost humanity. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him not only to live among men, to bear their sins, to die their sacrifice. He gave him to the fallen race. Christ was to identify himself with the interests and needs of humanity. He who was one with God has linked himself with the children of men by ties that are never to be broken. Jesus is not ashamed to call them brethren, Hebrews 2:11. He is our sacrifice, our advocate, our brother, bearing our human form before the Father's throne, and through eternal ages one with the race. He has redeemed the Son of Man. And all this that man might be uplifted from the ruin and degradation of sin, that he might reflect the love of God and share the joy of holiness. The price paid for our redemption, the infinite sacrifice of our Heavenly Father in giving his Son to die for us, should give us exalted conceptions of what we may become through Christ.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. I am so happy to be here on the prayer line this evening. And let us begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to thee, to the throne of grace at this hour, to thank you, Father, for this prayer line once again. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for this day that you have given us to wake up and to hear and to see the beautiful things of this world. Oh, Father, there's someone that didn't wake up yesterday. But, Father, we come to praise you because you have given us breath in our body. And you have allowed us to see another day. Thank you, Father, for blessing us to come to the prayer line to fellowship and worship once again. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for safe traveling mercy. As my husband and I went out traveling to the store and got back here on time to host the prayer line. Father, I thank you as I lift up my brothers and sisters that coming to share, coming to testify of your goodness and thanking you for what you have done in their life. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the word of God. Lord, you have blessed us yesterday on your Sabbath day, Lord, as we have either gone to church or at home at service. Oh, Father, what a blessing to hear and to rest and have peace on God's holy Sabbath. Father, we thank you so much to bring us into the knowledge and the wisdom of your true holy Sabbath day. So we're giving you thanks and we're praising you once again on this prayer line. And we're lifting all our brothers and sisters up to you, Father, because we do know who we belong to. God says he's our Father. He's our Creator. He's our only God that's ever and all over the universe that have ever been since this world began. So, Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you gave to us, Lord, that we can come to the throne of grace and talk to the Father, asking him to forgive us for our sins. And Christ take our prayers to the Father. And he said that we don't know what we ought to pray for, but he take it and he give it to him as it should be. So thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy, your love that you laid down for us. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. You say that you would not go away, but if you go away, you're going to send your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we've got to give you the thanks and the praise for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Now, Lord, we're asking you to pour out your Spirit upon us on this prayer line tonight, that we can share, that we can talk and speak of the goodness that you have done for us. Yesterday, day before, last week, every day. Thank you, Father. Bless each and every one that come here to share and testify. And we thank you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. And brothers and sisters, as we begin to share the scripture, I would like to share the scripture coming from James. As I thought about this scripture, and that was James chapter 2, my page. I was reading something else. It sent me to. So that's James. It was chapter 2. It's talking about faith without works. And I want to just share these few scriptures with you, sisters and brothers. As you think on them, I'm asking the Lord to lead and guide each and every one of us to think and search our heart on this. It say, what doeth profit my brethren, though a man say he had faith and have not worked? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what do it profit? Even so faith, if it has not worked, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have worked. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devil also believes and trembles. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So I just want to give God thanks that he tell us, you know, if we don't have faith with that works, meaning that if I don't just get up out that bed and believe I can get up and just go and get me a glass of water, well, that's going to be a problem. So, sisters and brothers, I will open the line, and we ask him that each one press 1 to share. Amen? Amen. We ask him everybody to press 1, and you can share your thoughts, and you can share or give your testimony or praise to God, because truly we are to share and give God the praise because he deserves it all. But no one has pressed 1. I wanted to, okay, but someone pressed 1, so I'm going to open the line. So as we read this, brothers and sisters, faith without works is dead. And I believe my brothers and sisters showing forth faith right now as they press 1. So I'm opening the line for 272-770. Your line is open. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
Amen. Hi, Sister Leola. Thank you so much for opening my line. This is Sister Tymiko from Pennsylvania. And I just want to give the Lord all praise and honor and glory because he has brought us through another week safely. He's brought me to all my appointments safe and sound. He's even brought me to Florida safe and sound. Safe travel and mercies there and safe travel and mercies coming back. So I give the Lord all praise and honor and glory and all adoration because he's so worthy to be praised. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. He is so wonderful. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. I praise and bless his great and holy name. And I thank him for bringing me back and forth. I thank him for giving me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and letting me go out when I have my appointments to go out and share the word of God, boldness, and preach the word with boldness. Placing the steps to Christ in my little tracks from Amazing Facts. I'm so grateful, and I would like to sing a song for my precious beloved brothers and sisters on the prayer line this beautiful evening. Amen. Amen. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as an onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up that I shall stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubt arises. Though some may dwell where these are found, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and I shall stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has called the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and I shall stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll praise the heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and I shall stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I would like to share a Bible verse with you, if I may. Psalms 121. Verses 1 through 8, I lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, and he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon the right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, and he shall preserve thy soul. And verse 8 says, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth, even forevermore. Amen. Amen. So we can trust in the Lord, and we can look to him for help, because he will always be there to help us and never leave us nor forsake us. So thank you so much, Sister Leola, for opening my line. And my prayer request is to lift up all my precious, beloved brothers and sisters on this prayer line this evening, lifting you up, Sister Powell, Sister Stephanie, and her precious Jews, and also prayer for Brother Eli, prayer for Elder Richardson and his wife, and prayer for Brother Rick and his family, and prayer for my family as well and my children. So I thank you so much. God bless you, Sister Leola. Thank you again. Amen. Love you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I love you too. And I just want to thank the Lord for you, sister, and asking the Lord to continue to bless you. But I'm telling you, the fact that you are so faithful in coming to sing a song and praising God, God is sees the heart, and he will bless you. So we just want to thank you for coming on and sharing. So you continue to do so, my sister, as you share in the gospel all around in your neighborhood and when you go out and meeting people. You are blessing people to get the word. So thank you so much. God bless you, and may he keep you as you continue to listen. Amen. We're going to open the line for the next caller, which is 423-635. Your line is open, and you can give us your name and where you call us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hi, good evening. Thank you for opening up my line, Sister Leola. Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can.
Sister Leola, can you? Okay. Amen. Yes, this is Sister Carla. I'm driving home. I'm just thanking the Lord for his goodness, for his mercy, his love, and for taking me safely and on my way back, for giving me his mercy and his grace as traveling mercy. And I just want to thank him, and I just have a song before I read a verse. I don't know if you want me to, I can sing two verses or all of it. It is, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Bless us, sister, bless us.
Amen, amen. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus says the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me near the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him. The precious Savior friend. And I know that Thou art with me, will be with me till the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Amen. I just want to trust Him more and to, you know, put all my faith in the precious blood of Jesus, and it is so sweet to trust in Jesus, because he's a life, He's salvation, He's the only way. There's no other way but by Jesus, and we are to simply take Him at His word. You know, we'll get peace and joy, and He will prove. We have to prove Him, you know. And we know His promises are true. He's not like men that He should lie, but He is our King, our Savior, and our Lord. So I just want to share this reading. It says, and it's from the fifth testimony. It said, I have been shown that many who profess to have a knowledge of present truth know not what they believe. They do not understand the evidence of their faith. They have no just application of the word for the present time. When the time of trial shall come, these are men now preaching to others who will find upon examining the position they hold that they are many things for which they can give no satisfactory reason. Until thus tested it, they knew not their great ignorance, and here are many in the church who take it for granted that they understand what they believe, but until controversy arises, they do not know their own weakness. When separated from those of like faith and compelled to stand singly and alone to explain their belief, they will be surprised to see how confused are their ideas of what they have accepted as truth. Certain it is that there has been amongst us a departure from the living God and a turning to men, putting human in the place of divine wisdom. The fifth testimony, paragraph 7, page 7. 07, paragraph 2. May the Lord truly help us that we do not put our trust, we do not put our hope in men, but that we put it in the divine wisdom of God, that we put it in our Savior, our Creator, our King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who is soon to come. May we put our trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola.
Amen, amen. I want to thank my sister Carla for sharing that scripture and the song with us. You know, it encouraged us one way or the other by reading those scriptures and singing that song. And I just want to share with you what she was sharing about faith and having that faith. And look what it says in prophecy. It says, when we lay hold of Christ by faith, our work has just begun. Every man has corrupt and sinful habits. Yes, I do. That we must overcome by vigorous warfare. Every soul is required to fight the fight. Fight the cannot be sharp in deals. He cannot be hard-hearted, devoid of sympathy. He cannot be coarse in his speech. You see, these things, we got to watch how we speak to people. You got to watch how you talk. And he said he cannot be full of and self-esteem. He cannot be overbearing, nor can he be harsh words, censor, and a condemner. The labor of love springs from the works of faith. Bible religion means constant work. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We are to be zealous of good works. Be careful to maintain good works. And the true witness says, I know thy work. While it is true that our busy activities will not in themselves ensure salvation, it is also true that unite us to Christ will stir the soul to activity. So, sisters and brothers, I'm telling you, I'm reading this for Sister Leola, and that I watch my tone, I watch my words, and forgive me if I go would say something that I shouldn't have said. And, you know, Christ said we must publicly ask for forgiveness, because sometimes we may say something that's not right. But you know what, sister? I'm humble enough to say, forgive me, because I am sorry. But when God speaks to us, you know what the word says about Christ? He didn't spoke not one word. He was so humble. He didn't mumble the word of rudeness and ugliness to no one. So I'm just grateful to what I read. So I just want to thank God once again. I don't want to be too long on saying anything, but I want my sisters and brothers to share. You know, when you share, you are. Go ahead, Sister Carly.
Amen. One quick question. What's the page or the book or the paragraph of the reading, please? Thank you.
Yes, I'm reading right under Galatians. You have it in your Bible. It's under Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, and I read in the middle of the paragraph. It starts with every man. No, it starts with when we lay hold of Christ by faith. Our work has just begun, and I'll send it to you. Amen? So you
okay,
have anything
I'll
else to share, Sister Carla? You had anything else to share?
No, I just... yes, I just want to thank the Lord. I'm driving now, so there might be some noise. I just want to thank the Lord for a blessed Sabbath there in Iron City with the Richardson family. And, you know, I presented the health message and also was participating in song service. And by doing these things and participating, it makes us more likely to not be ashamed, not, you know, to get up and preach and to teach and to exhort and to praise the Lord, because he said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So I just thank the Lord that he can use me, and I won't be too shy and say no. You know, I'm willing vessel to be used by the Lord and, you know, growing, because we're all growing and learning these songs and learning to share and to tell the people the truth in love, like you said, not be stern, but to be kind and loving. That's how we're going to win hearts. That's how Jesus did it. And if we're his disciple and he's our example, we have to follow him and not men and not culture and not cultivated tendency to evil, because, you know, we're so shaped in iniquity and rooted in sin and selfishness and pride and anger and everything else. We just have to ask God to help us to rid us of those traits that are not his, that are, of course, we know it's the traits of the enemy. So thank you again. God bless.
Amen, amen. And thank you, Sister Cole, for mentioning that. Because, you know, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of everything. So I just praise God for his word. His word convicts the heart. And as our brother Eli always say, Sister Leola, that God takes that stony heart away and give us a heart of flesh. You know, I praise God for his saints and for all that come to share. And, you know, when we repeat things, it keeps it in the mind. It keeps it in the memory. Why we think that God told us, remember the Sabbath day. And that is that as we study on the prayer line, Sister Carla have us to read it every Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day. Because, you know, God knew that we don't practice something, we some subject to forget it. And that is the truth. Because I had watched the grandchildren. And when they don't see something for a long time and they grow up with, like, without months, they have forgotten what you have taught them. So that's why God says when you wake up in the morning, when you're lying down, when you're sitting, and all this here, he say, teach it. So thank you so much, Sister Carla. We're going to move. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to go to the next caller by God's grace. Amen. And we're going to open up the line. Brothers and sisters, be patient. I see Brother Eli first. Brother Eli, we're going to open your line. And if you can be brief, Brother Eli, so you may go ahead, Brother Eli. You're on.
Amen. Hello, hello, brothers and sisters on the prayer line. My name is Brother Eli. I like to thank God because God is good. He's merciful. He's worthy to be praised, Sister Carla and Sister Miola. I like to thank God for his love and his mercy. And I have a prayer request, Sister Miola and Sister Carla. Sister Miola and Sister Carla, do not forget to lift up my mother in prayer. Do not forget to lift me up in prayer, Sister Carla. And Sister Carla and Sister Miola, do not forget to lift up Sister Tina in prayer. Pray for Sister Tina, my neighbor. Do not forget to lift up her other neighbor at the moment because she's feeling stressed at this moment. I want to encourage her at the moment because I already give Tina to tell her to give the prayer line to her. I say, Sister Tina, do not forget to give that sister the prayer line because the prayer line is very important, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, if you're feeling stressed, if you're feeling depressed, brothers and sisters, have faith in the Lord because he is good. He is merciful. Brothers and sisters, just cry out to the Lord, brothers and sisters. After the prayer line, brothers and sisters, do 7 songs and 7 prayer on your prayer closet, brothers and sisters. May God bless you all on the prayer line. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Eli, for sharing with us. And brothers and sisters, I just want to let you know that when we're on the prayer line in the morning, Brother Eli requests 7 prayers and 7 songs. We are able to do that in the morning. But by God's grace, we can do that in the morning or another day, Brother Eli. And because, like, right now we got to have brothers and sisters that press 1, we got to open their line. And we just want to thank brothers and sisters for coming on and sharing. And we ask you to press 1 and your line could be open. And I missed, looked like someone, yeah, I'm going to have to text because someone dropped. And I just want to thank God for your patience and that you are pressing 1. But also, like I was meant, Eli is very loving and patient and, you know, just coming and asking for prayers for brothers and sisters. He always lifting up everyone. He don't never miss no one. And by God's grace, I try not to miss no one. And if I miss anyone, forget anyone's name, it's not fault. It's only that we sometimes call so many names and names we see on the line, we forget sometime. Amen. So thank you. And I really would like to see everyone press 1. Everyone. Amen. Everyone, brothers and sisters, by God's grace. So, yes, I see no one else has. We want to wait for everyone. And I need to send Brother Rick a text because he has pressed one, but now he's not on. Yes, but I want to thank you all for being patient and sharing the songs and everything. And let's see, we got a little bit longer before we being able. So I'm going to just read while we wait for others to share. I'm going to just read this this scripture that I was going to read. It's faith without work. It says, there is a belief that is not a saving faith. The word declares that the devil believes and trembles. The so-called faith that does not work by love and purify the soul will not justify any man. Abraham believed God. How do we know that he believed? His works testify to the character of his faith, and his faith was accounted to his righteousness. Amen. I'm trying to watch the line also. We need the faith of Abraham in our day to lighten the darkness of gathers around us, shutting out the sweet sunlight of God's love, and dwarf the spiritual growth. Our faith should be prolific of good works, for faith without works is dead. Every duty performed, every sacrifice made in the name of Jesus bring exceedingly great reward. In the very act of duty, God speaks and gives his blessing. Amen. So we just thank God for his word. And as he continues to bless us each and every day, may God be with each and every one as we seek him daily, as we ask him to lead and guide us. So we just thank him for that information also. So brothers and sisters, as we continue to wait for our brothers and sisters to share, I wanted to give a song, and I don't have my book with me in here. I wanted to share a song with you, but I'm going to open up Sister Tamika line, and she can share another song with us. Because Sister Leola don't want to be the speaker. So Sister Tamika, we're going to open up and share another song.
Amen. Thank you so much for
Amen.
Opening
you
my line,
share another
Sister
song.
Leola. Sure, I'll be glad to. He lives. Amen. Song 251 in my hymnal. I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his love and care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christians, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate you opening my line, Sister Leola, to sing the song,
Amen.
He Lives. So may we remember always that he lives within our hearts and he loves us with an everlasting love. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Sisters and brothers. Sisters and brothers, Sister Leola is asking if there's anyone else would like to share. You are now able to press 1 and your line could be open. And I just want to thank the Lord once again for you and for everyone that the line from the other countries, from Canada, from Japan, all these other countries may be online with us and listening. And, you know, they like to hear different voices. So by God's grace, I pray that someone else can share. But if not, I would like to just read this verse for you, sisters and brothers, because it's nothing better than Sister Leola can do is but read the scripture. And I would like to share. Amen. Let me just open the line. We have, okay. No, I thought that was someone else that. I would like to just read another scripture for you, talking about the faith. Amen? And this is verse 21. And it says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, up on the altar? Seeing thou how faith wrought with his work and by works, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Oh, mercy, would we love to be called a friend of God, a child of God? You know what the Beatitudes mentioned, that that's one that's a peacemaker. They're going to be a child of God. I don't know all of them, but. And it says the meek shall inherit the earth. All these things to be called a child of God is one that you know you have made it in that kingdom if you called a friend of God or a child of God. So we just praise God for his word. So let us go ahead and ask if there's anyone else would like to share and your line to be open. Amen. By God's grace. Amen. That's no one. That's no one else that's pressed one. So we're going to continue, brothers and sisters. I like to share a song. And just give me a minute. I'd like to get my book. So I would like to share Amazing Grace with you. Isn't our Savior is amazing? So we would love to sing this song to praise God, to give God to praise. I'm getting it. We have in Brother Akeem will be our speaker tonight, and he will be on at about 7:30. Let us sing this song, Amazing Grace. How sweet that sound that saved a wretch like us. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now we see. Always include the prayer line. Was grace that taught our heart to fear, and grace really, excuse me, and grace our fear really. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. This grace has brought us faith thus far, and grace will lead us home. Oh, brothers and sisters, what amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It always, that God, amazing grace to us. He love us, and he wanna lead us to his promised land. I just want to give him thanks for that. And let us continue in prayer. Let us go in prayer. We're not going to linger any longer with anything else. There's no one has pressed one, but we will go into prayer because we have a few on, and let us praise them, brothers. I'm going to begin with a word of prayer, and then we want to ask, we're going to open the line for just a few that will offer a prayer. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, Father, we come before you, Father, to lift up our brothers and sisters. Father, that's not many on the prayer line. Lord, you know your children, and you know, Lord, whether they had the opportunity to get on. You know whether they wanted to share, Lord. But, Lord, we're just placing a prayer for them, and we are just lifting them up to you, Lord. Can you, Father, to strengthen them, Lord, to keep them and give them safety if they're traveling. Lord, to help them in their struggle, any struggles that they may be having. Lord, to help them in any hurt or pain. Oh, Father, we call upon the most holy and righteous name, that only name, the God, our Creator, Jehovah, and His Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. Lord, please bless each and everyone on this prayer line. Help us, Lord, to know you. Help us to draw closer to you, Father, because the only name above names is our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we must call upon him, and he said he will answer. Heavenly Father, we lift up Sister Tamika to you, Lord. If she has put in her request, Father, for her son, her children, Lord, Father, for Taiwan and Tony, Father, we ask that you would, Lord, send your Holy Spirit to touch their hearts and help them, give them strength, Father, and protect them from the enemy, Lord, while they're out there in the world, Lord. Father, we ask you to help your children and turn them from their ways, Lord, that we can seek you and search for you while you may be able to be found, Father. Oh, Father, we lift up Brother Rick as she asked for prayers for Brother Rick. Lord, and as Brother Rick was on, Lord, we know that he has a work he had to do. And when he was getting ready, Lord, to hang up, Lord, I was getting ready to open his line. Oh, Father, I pray for him. I know he wanted to request a prayer for his wife, Lord. And, Father, we pray for her. We lift her up, Lord, Father, asking that you would help her in her pain, Lord. Help her in her distress, because, Lord, we know
situation, Father. So please have mercy upon her, Lord. And, Lord, give her a sense of love and patience and understanding that you are with her, that you will take her. Believe it, Lord. Help her to trust you, Lord. Because, God, you say you love us with an everlasting love. And only you can give that. Only you can say that and mean it. Lord, we know that you mean it, Father. So thank you. Now, Lord, we also lift up all the Sister Power to you, Father. Sister Power is there in Jamaica doing a work for you, Lord, out there sharing with the people meals and food and clothing, all that, what I read earlier, that we don't say we have faith without works, but yet we having people destitute and we having people hungry and with no clothes. But, Lord, she's there providing. Can you bless everything that she touched, Lord? Help her, Lord, to help the Alex Nation to build the homes, Lord, and what he's been doing. Oh, Father, help your people. Provide, Lord, the money they need, Father. I'm asking you, Lord, thank you. Thanking you for what you are doing, Father. And, dear Lord, we lift up Brother Eli to you, Lord, his mother, his friends, Lord, that he has been praying for. Lord, constantly coming to you, asking for prayers for Jahari, Jamal, and all these others, Lord, Father. So, Lord, I'm asking you to bless according to your will his mother, his sister. Bless him, Father. And now, Lord, we lift up Sister Carla to you, Lord, Father. She's driving on the highway, Father, and she's driving back home, Lord. It is evening. It's nighttime. Father, I'm asking that you be her eyes, be her protection to get her home, Lord. And as she get in her home, Father, I'm asking you to be there to protect and to bless her home, that nothing there to hurt or harm her, and that you make her path clear, Lord, and be with her, Lord, Father, as she enter her home, Lord. I'm asking you to clear and cut any situation that could hurt or harm us or be in danger. Father, thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for her having the faith and trusting in you. Oh, Father, thank you. Lord, as we lift her children up to you, Father, blessing them and keeping them. Lord, we pray also for Brother O'Neill, Lord, and his children and his situation. He asking you, Father, for this is going to be unspoken request, Lord, that we pray for him and that you provide for him and keep him, Lord. Send him, Lord, Father. Oh, Lord God, you know what your child have need of. Lord, we just asking and pleading over him the blessing that he stand in need of. Oh, Lord, send down the rain. Send down your Holy Spirit to lead and guide him and protect him and keep him, Lord, Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, we got other requests. We got unspoken requests on this prayer line. We got others on the prayer line that we lift up to you, Father. Lord, you know them, and you know their situation. So, Lord, we lift them up to you, Lord, asking that you be with the sisters and brothers on here, Lord, Father, and asking, Father, to give them strength. Lord, Father, we don't know who's struggling with finance, Lord, Father. I'm asking you to provide, Lord, put food in their home, Lord, Father, and Lord, put gas in their car that they can make it to work. Father, we having struggles today, Lord, Father, and all we can ask is the Heavenly Father to provide, and he said that he would provide for his children. Thank you, Lord, with what you're doing. Thank you, Father. Lord, Father, we lift up Brother Richardson into you, Lord, as Sister Tamika and Sister Carla ask for prayers for our sister and brother. We lift up their home, their land, Father. We lift up their children to you, Father, and asking that you be with them, Lord, and bless them according to your word, Lord. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you, Father.
Heavenly Father, we pray for Brother Judy, Brother Bernard. Lord, we lift all these requests up to you, all the people that have been on this prayer line, Father, from the beginning up until now, Lord. We lift them up to you, Lord. There's so many names, Lord, that we can call, but, Lord, all don't come to mind. Oh, Father, I lift up my family, Jarvis and Shiloh, and I lift up Nicole, Amari. Lord, I lift them all up to you, Father. I lift up, Father, Ashley, Lord, as Ashley and Jarvis in Taiwan. Lord, we lift them up as our children and together, Father. Oh, bless them, Lord. Turn them around, Father. We just thanking you for what you've done already done. Lord, you have given them life. Lord, they are still living. I seen Jarvis today. I talked with him today, Lord. And you giving him still life in his body. Lord, he's alive. So, Father, you can still work on his heart. You can still, I thank you, Father, for allowing Sister Ashley. She's going into her private situation. So, Father, bless her where she is right now, Lord. Speak to her heart, Lord, and keep her, Lord, Father, that she may not turn away and that she may look forward and she don't look back no more. Father, thank you. Thank you for bringing her into subjection, Lord. Now I'm asking you to do the same for Jarvis. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, Father, we pray for this prayer line. Lift this prayer line up to you, Lord, as we are continuing to have fellowship in worship on this prayer line. Bless each speaker. Bless each and everyone that come to this prayer line. Lord, we ask you, Father, to be on this prayer line, hearing and listening to the words that we bring, Lord. I'm asking that you can convict my heart and to strengthen me, Lord, to follow you to every word that you said. Oh, Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, your long-suffering and patience that you give to us. Oh, we ask in all this in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and grateful to your Holy Spirit as he come, as he poured out upon us on this prayer line. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And brothers and sisters, we also want to ask another prayer because we do know. Okay, we're going to open up this line by God's grace. Let's open up. Amen. 518-744. We opening up your line. Amen.
Amen, Sister Leola. Thank you. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York. And I was on, Sister, you were almost getting ready to put my line and somebody called in and I had to take the call. So I apologize for that. But, you know, God has been good today. My wife has been hurting very badly, her back and everything, so I got her going today, and then I had to go help the caretakers up at William Miller Farm. You met them, Sister Leola and Sister Carla. You met them, Travis and Cecilia. They are moving to Tennessee, so I was up there all day helping them move or load their truck. And poor Travis, actually his wife and daughter are in Tennessee already. It was just his son and his parents and him and myself loading their stuff up in his truck, and he got sick. I don't know what came over him. I think the enemy was attacking him, but he got overcome by the heat. It was 90 degrees, and he was inside the truck loading. So I just wanted to lift him up in prayer, Sister Travis, because he's supposed to be in Tennessee tomorrow evening for Elijah to start school down there. And they're not going to make it if he is sick. So I just want to lift up a short prayer, Sister, if you don't mind. Do we have time? Do we have time?
Yes, we have plenty of time. Lift up.
Okay.
Brother
okay.
Rick, I want to ask you,
yes,
as we've been praying for Ashley Jarvis, lift him up again. I
yes.
saw him. I talked with
yes.
him today.
Amen.
And I want him
oh,
to
amen.
Do just what God has did for Sister Ashley. Bring him in and help
yes.
him. Help his mind to
Amen.
Be ready. Amen?
Yes. Okay. Amen.
And
let us pray.
I've got so many young men
yes.
and women out there. So just, yeah, please
Amen.
Lift them up in prayer. Amen?
Yes. Okay. Amen. Dear Father, we just come before you again, Lord. And, oh, Father, we're just grateful that you did not get tired of us coming to you, Lord. You said you pity us as little children, Lord. And as many times as we come to you, you answer us, you hear us, you take care of our needs, Lord. You lift us up, you strengthen us, you give us your spirit, Lord, to give us wisdom. And Father, we're just grateful for you, for being our God. You said that we could be your children and you would be our God. And Lord, we strayed, Lord. We just ask you now for the forgiveness of our sins, Lord. We want to be holy and righteous as you are, Lord, but we cannot do that without the blood of Jesus covering us, Lord. And to receive his blood, to receive that forgiveness, to receive that salvation, Lord, we need to come to you each day and be in your word and partake of your word and your goodness to us, Lord. So please, Lord, send your Holy Spirit down upon us right now, each person on this prayer line, Lord. And Father, you just heard the petitions for Ashley, for Taiwan, for Jarvis, Lord. And Lord, I just want to lift them up again to you, oh Father. Father, we have been praying for them for a long time. And Lord, we know that you are working. Lord, sometimes we are not patient. Our faith grows dim sometimes, Lord. And Father, we just want to release them to you. At this moment, Lord, you will do the work. You will do the convicting, Lord. We have tried. We have failed. And, Lord, we know that it's you. So, Father, be with Jarvis as he is out there. Be with Ashley as she is in rehab now, Lord. Be with Taiwan where he is, Lord. I don't know where he is, but you see him, Lord. You know what he is doing. You know what he is thinking. Lord, you know what each one of them are doing and thinking. And, Father, just convict their hearts, Lord. May you reach them, touch them, goodness, convict them of your love for them, Lord, so they will know that you are the only answer to their every need, Lord. And Father, heal them, Lord. May they come on this prayer line and give a testimony of your goodness and your grace, Lord. Father, I just lift up each one of our members of the prayer line, Lord. I think of Brother O'Neill. I think of Brother Yeedy, Sister Melissa, Lord, I think of Brother Bernard, Brother Mozart, who we haven't heard from in a little while, Lord, Sister Carla, Sister Leola, Sister Powell in Jamaica, Lord, witnessing, doing her kind deeds, Lord. Please give her strength and give her what she needs there, Lord, and each one of us here, oh, Father, I thank you for Sister Tamiko. She's always encouraging and praying for others, Lord, and I just do thank you for her and her kindness and her love for you that shines out of her as you have called us to do, O Lord. Father, may each one of us have that love in our hearts that only you can give us, Lord, and may we extend that to others or show others that you love us by the things that we do for them, Lord. Father, sometimes we're tempted to turn our back and say, no, we don't want to help because we don't know them. But Lord, you know them. They're your children. Everyone that we meet is your child. So, Father, give us that will, that strength to do that, Lord. May we look at each person as we look at ourselves, Lord, somebody to help. Somebody to cherish, somebody to guide along the way, oh, Father. Father, we just thank you for your goodness and your grace to us. And we thank you that Sister Leola is faithful in hosting this program, Lord. And Sister Carla also, Lord, we heard her on Friday night, Lord. We're just grateful that they have been faithful, Lord. Not only are they faithful in hosting, Lord, they are bringing your word. They are preaching little sermons each time they come on, Lord, with all the little readings they do, the things that they bring up, Lord. So we thank you for reminding us of our duties and of the things that you have called us to do. We thank you, Lord, be with our speaker tonight. We just praise you that we have such fine people that come on and speak and bring your word to us. And Lord, convict our hearts. Thank you. And we praise you, dear. Lord, I just want to lift up my wife, too, at this moment. She is in pain still. And Lord, we know that you have the cure for her. And Lord, you are working on her right now. I know that. I've seen the results so far. She is feeling a little better. And Lord, she has to go back to work tomorrow, and that will just make it worse. So Lord, I just pray that you will be with her and help her to receive the healing, the natural remedy that you have in store for her, Lord. The drugs have not worked, Lord. And she is calling on you to receive natural things, Lord. So we just thank you and praise you and ask that you would continue to work on her heart and free her from her pain, Lord. We know you will when the time is right. So we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola. Thank you for opening my line, and thank all the brothers and sisters for praying for me, and I will be praying for you also. Thanks.
Amen, amen. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Brother Rick. Brother Akeem have joined us, and you have offer the prayer for him, and we now will open his line. Amen. Let us open 301-640. Your line is open. It's Brother Akeem.
All right. Thank you so much.
Oh, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you once again, and glad to be back on. Thank you for the prayer, Brother Rick, and as we go into our study this evening, pray that our hearts and minds will be blessed and strengthened and drawn ever closer to the Lord. Today we're going to be looking once again. We've been studying Revelation 13, and we're going to go back and look at that once again. Revelation chapter 13. And we're going to see some interesting things here, some different things, but I pray that our minds and our hearts will be open to studying it, and that it will make sense to us as we study it. So let's have one more word of prayer. Father in heaven, strengthen our hearts and minds, Lord, and draw us ever closer to you. Save us from ourselves, and Lord, use us to advance your cause. I pray, O God, that we may see the truths of your word this evening, and Lord, that it may help us to make sense out of some of the things that will be transpiring in the last days, in the end of time. Guide us, O Lord. Pray in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. All right. So we're going in Revelation 13, and we're going to be looking at something very interesting. So Revelation 13 and verse 11, we've covered a good bit of things so far. We covered the history of the papal system, and in our last past few, I should say, studies, we've covered the subject of the papacy blaspheming, the name of God that is his character, the tabernacle of God that is the sanctuary ministry of Christ, and also that he would blaspheme those who dwell in heaven, and we saw how that played out in two parts. It played out as he sought to kill the saints who were advancing with Jesus at that time while he was in the holy place during the Dark Ages. All those who stood for God, the papacy, said, you know, as quote-unquote God's church, we must take vengeance upon these people, these heretics. And as they did this, they were actually doing it against the true church itself, those who were in the wilderness. The true church during the Dark Ages, though the papacy thought that it was the true church. According to the Bible, the true church, according to Revelation 12, was hiding in the wilderness. That's those who were living in secret to protect themselves and their Christian experience. And as they went forth, many of them were martyred. And so as the papacy took the lives of these people in vengeance, they were taking the prerogative of God. Hence, it was blasphemy itself that they were committing by taking vengeance For the Bible tells us that vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So they were taking a prerogative of God. And we see why God, in what the papacy did to God's true people, we see why God tells us not to take that prerogative of vengeance. Because we could end up persecuting the very people that God has anointed. We could end up standing against the very cause that God has raised up. And so hence God says to us, justice, yes. Humanity has called to do is called to do justice. But at the same time, humanity is not called to execute vengeance. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. And so as we look at this, this is crucial for us to understand. And so we look at this as it concerns the papacy. The Bible continues to tell us after that, we also saw that those who dwell in heaven are not just human beings that the papal system killed, but we also saw that it was a representation of even holy angels of God, unfallen angels. We read statements covering where the papacy states that the Pope and the priests are even higher than angels because they can forgive sins, quote unquote, and how the Pope is above angels. And so as we looked at these things, it's very interesting that we see that this is what the papacy espoused, this is what it put forth before the people during the Dark Ages. It says in verse 7 of chapter 13, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to what? To overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, that is, tongues and nations of the then known world. But then in verse 8, it skips forward to a time when it would reach its climactic point at the end of time, papal supremacy, for it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall, that is will, that's the future, shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And then it goes over Revelation 13:3 once again, for it says, if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity, that is the papacy, led people into captivity, shall also go into captivity. Manifestation of the French Revolution, when the Pope himself was taken captive and the papacy was at the mercy of France. He that killeth with the sword, that is, with the civil power, must be killed with the sword. And that is what happened during the French Revolution. France, one of the most ardent civil supporters of the papal system, turned on it. It says, God calls those who go through that time to be patient. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. In other words, those who held on until the very interruption of papal supremacy in 1798. But while this was happening, another power was arising further west. And that power is mentioned in verse 11, the beast that came up out of the earth. And it's not just, as we covered before, it's not just a symbol of the United States, but it is a symbol of Protestantism, Christianity, a certain kind of Christianity in the United States of America. A Christianity that operates like the dragon, a Christianity that forces the people of America to be Christian. For it states, this beast that would rise up out of the sea, he had two horns like a lamb, a symbol of republicanism and Protestantism, and his a dragon. That is, he would speak like the very power that gave the papacy power. How do we know this? It says in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the first beast. That's the papacy. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now remember, in Revelation chapter 12, the dragon is a symbol of none other than Satan. And the dragon symbolizes, in its direct sense, Satan. In its indirect sense, it represents the pagan Roman Empire, which gave itself over to the church. Hence, the church was called the Roman Catholic Church, because it was a continuation of the pagan Roman Empire. But in its more direct sense, the dragon represents the devil. And so for the United States of America, for Protestantism in the United States of America to speak like a dragon, it means that it will begin to be a persecuting power. Because this is what the devil did to the saints throughout the ages. It gave power to the papal system, raised it up for the purpose of persecuting God's true church. So what does dragon speech look like? It looks like setting in motion laws and decrees that would result in the persecution of the saints. So that means Christianity in the United States would speak in such a way that it would result and has spoken and will speak. For remember what the Bible says here, he spake, that is past tense, as a dragon, not will speak. It is because he spake as a dragon in the past that one day he will speak as a dragon. So Christianity in the United States would become a persecuting power. And so it says here, it continues by saying in verse 12, and he, that is Christianity in the United States, exercised all the power of the first beast before him and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now the question is, what will cause, how is it that this second beast, Christianity in this nation, would reach to the point where it can set in motion laws that would cause the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed? It has to be something decisive that happens. And verse 13 reveals what that decisive thing is. It says, and he doeth great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. By that miracle and others, it says he deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the first beast, meaning while the first beast was looking on, while the papacy was looking on. Why? Because it's setting up the stage for the papacy to receive worldwide power again. Who does that? The United States of America. Now, remember before we covered the fact that Revelation 13:13 is pulling from a story in the Old Testament. And that story is the story of Elijah, who, when facing the prophets of Baal, the prophets of Baal prayed, and as they prayed, and no fire came down from heaven and consumed their sacrifice in 1 Kings chapter 18. But when Elijah prayed once to the Lord, fire came down and consumed the sacrifice. The result was that there was a major revival in Israel for a season. And so the fire falling from heaven is a symbol of revival, because as that fire fell from heaven, what happened? It turned people back to God. It caused people to believe that Jehovah was truly God and not Baal. And friends, that's powerful, because that's what Elijah's name means. Jehovah is God. Eli, El, meaning God, E, the way that we would say of today, Jah, Jehovah, but it's flipped. Jehovah is God. Or who is the true God? Jehovah. And that was Elijah's whole purpose in the showdown at Carmel, to show who was the true God. Was it Baal or Jehovah? And it was proven to be Jehovah. And so it is pulling from that story, fire falling from heaven, causing a drawing of people. This happens here as well, you see, because it says in verse 14, as a result of the miracles, it deceived them that dwell on the earth. So it drew people, but it drew them into deception. This is a picture of a false revival. So a false revival will take place in the fallen Christian churches. But I want to bring out something now a little different. There was something that I've been looking at in inspiration, friends. And friends, we understand that verse 13 of Revelation 13. By verse 13 of Revelation 13, friends, probation has not yet closed. As a matter of fact, Revelation 14 with the three angels' messages comes as a way that God will counteract the work that the two beasts will do in Revelation 13. So God lists the work that the two beasts would do in Revelation 13, and then Revelation 14, he lists the work that he will do. So God lists the work that he will do to counteract the work of the enemy in chapter 14. But friends, there's something that I always wonder about, and now it is becoming clear to me. that inspiration compares Revelation 13, verses 11 onward, especially verse 13, to two. She takes it basically, inspiration takes it and applies it, makes it a dual application. In other words, it doesn't just apply to a false revival happening in America. This false revival, yes, happening in America among Christians, will lead to verse 12, which is that he calls it the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the beast. This is like a worldwide worship, right? Whose deadly wound is healed. But what causes it? It's the miracles, verse 13 and 14. And the miracles happen as a result of a false revival within Christianity. Friends, there's something else. While this does, verse 13 and 14 refers to a false revival that will come in the United States, it also refers to something else. And of course, as we mentioned before, this is happening before probation closes. And so I want us to look at this. This is very intense, friends, because this is something I've been looking at recently, and now, only now, it is beginning to make sense. So now I'll read some of these statements for you concerning this false revival that will happen in the fallen churches. We can read in early writings, page 261, it says, I saw that God has honest children among the nominal Adventists, and the fallen churches, and before the plague shall be poured out, ministers and people will be called out from these churches and will gladly receive the truth. Satan knows this. He knows that a true revival is coming, and he will see sparks of it. And so what will he do as he sees the sparks of the true revival beginning? It says, Satan knows this, and before the loud cry. So notice it's not at the point of the loud cry yet, but sparks may have begun. People are starting to come out of the churches, and Satan is sensing something big is about to go down. So right before that loud cry, right before the message now extends and swells to a loud cry, Satan knows that loud cry is coming. And before the loud cry of the third angel's message is given, he raises an excitement in these religious bodies, that those who have rejected the truth may think that God is with them. So this is the false revival. Before the final visitation of God's judgment, that means probation hasn't closed, because you remember the final judgments, which are the seven last plagues of God, are poured out after probation closes, not before. So before the final visitations of God's judgments upon the earth, there will be among the people of the Lord such a revival of primitive godliness as has not been witnessed since apostolic times. Now here it is. The enemy of souls desires to hinder this work. And before the time for such a movement shall come, he will endeavor to prevent it by introducing, listen to this word, a counterfeit. That is a counterfeit revival. In those churches which he can bring under his deceptive power, he will make it appear that God's special blessing is poured out. How? There will be manifest what is thought to be great religious interest. There is an emotional excitement, a mingling of the true with the false, that is well adapted to mislead, yet none need be deceived. In the light of God's word, it is not difficult to determine the nature of these movements. Wherever men neglect the testimony of the Bible, turning away from those plain soul-testing truths which require self-denial and renunciation of the world, there we may be sure that God's blessing is not bestowed, right? Okay, so we read that when it says that Satan will make it appear that God's special blessing is poured out upon these churches, how shall he do that? Revelation 13:13 told us. It's through miracles, friends, and this is what is going to bring the world together. It's not the global elite that some are saying. It's not an agenda of the world to push forward. It's not an agenda of the world or some political party to push some kind of global agenda or the global elites to take over or none of these things. Rather, what causes the papacy to get back into power again is a false revival in these churches that will cause everyone to come together. Everyone, both Republican and Democrat, left and right, conservative and liberal, atheist and agnostic, and people, as we're seeing here, who are Christian in name. All the religions of the world, Muslim, Judaism, all of these groups will come because of this great revival. This great, because what will be happening? Miracles. Miracles will be taking place. But it's not just that. There's something else I want us to look at. And this is where Ellen White makes a dual application. Yes, it is true that inspiration tells us that Revelation 13, verses 13 and 14 are a reference to the false revival that will take place within the churches. But there's something else, friends. There's something else. She compares that to. All right? She compares it. So listen to this, all right? You ready? This is what she compares it to. Just finding it. Now I'll bring it to you guys. This is found, by the way, in a last day events. All right. So last day events, chapter 11. Now here's what we read. This is what we read. I'm going to read to you a number of statements. The sick will be healed. Miracles will be performed in our sight. Are we prepared for the trial which awaits us when the lying wonders of Satan shall be more fully exhibited? This is originally also taken from Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1, page 302. We continue now in Selected Messages, Volume 2, page 53. It says, men under the influence of evil spirits. So this is what will be happening in the churches now. Men under the influence of evil spirits will work miracles. They will make people sick by casting their spell upon them and will then remove the spell, leading others to say that those who were sick have been miraculously healed. This Satan has done again and again. Same page, it says, wonderful scenes with which Satan will be closely connected will soon take place. God's word declares that Satan will work miracles. He will make people sick and then will suddenly remove from them his satanic power. They will then be regarded as healed. These works of apparent healing will bring Seventh-day Adventists to the test. Do you see that? Serious stuff. Continue. Satan can, through a species of deceptions, perform wonders that will appear to be genuine miracles. It was this he hoped to make a test question with the Israelites at the time of their deliverance from Egypt. Right? It's found in Selected Messages, Volume 2, page 52. Now it continues by saying, we must not trust the claims of men. They may, as Christ represents, profess to work miracles in healing the sick. Is this marvelous when just behind them stands the great deceiver, the miracle worker, who will yet bring down, listen to this, fire from heaven in the sight of men? Do you see that? So who's going to bring down this fire in the sight of men? It's not just a symbol, friends, of the revival, the false revival that will take place in the churches. It's a symbol of the very miracles that Satan will do. Is this marvelous when just behind them stands the great deceiver, the miracle worker, who, Satan, who will bring down fire from heaven in the sight of men? It is the lying wonders of the devil that will take the world captive. And he, listen to this, and he will cause fire to come down from heaven in the sight of men. He is to work miracles, and this wonderful miracle-working power will sweep is to sweep in the whole world. Do you see that? So it's not just a symbol of revival in the fallen churches. Revelation 13:13 is pointing forward to a time when Satan will come and do a work himself. Medical Ministry, page 87 and 88, it says, Satan will come in to deceive, if possible, the very elect. He claims, this is how we know, it's not just through the fallen churches. No, he himself will show up at the time of these miracles. How do we know this? Medical Ministry, page 87 and 88. Satan will come in to deceive, if possible, the very elect. He claims to be Christ, and he is coming in pretending to be the great medical missionary. He will cause fire to come down from heaven in the sight of men to do what? To prove that he is God. Do you see the Elijah showdown again? It is stated in the word that the enemy will work through his agents who have departed from the faith, and they will seemingly work miracles, even to the bringing down of fire out of heaven in the sight of men. He doeth great wonders so that he makes, and then she quotes Revelation 13 in the great controversy, page 53. He doeth great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And do you notice who she's applying this to? So we've applied it, yes, and it's correct in one sense to Protestantism in the United States. But friends, she also in another sense, she applies it to Satan. He is not just a symbol of Protestantism in the United States. It's a symbol of the enemy of souls himself. He doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do. No mere impostures are here foretold. In other words, this is not a farce. This is not fake. Men are deceived by the miracles which Satan's agents have power to do, not which they pretend to do. And as a result of this, what will happen? As a result of, yes, the church is doing miracles because of Satan's power and Satan himself showing up and doing these miracles, what will then happen? In this age, Antichrist will appear as the true Christ. And then the law of God will be made fully void in the nations of our world. In other words, this is not just, it's going to start in the United States. But friends, it's going to spread everywhere. Satan will be appearing everywhere, doing wonders and signs. In this age of Antichrist, Antichrist will appear as the true Christ. So you see Antichrist, you see the manifold fulfillment of what Antichrist is? In this case, Antichrist is Satan appearing as Christ. So Antichrist has a triple meaning in the context of Scripture. Or I would say probably a quadruple meaning. One is, anyone who does not believe Christ came in the flesh, we are told in Scripture, is Antichrist, right? But also, the understanding of men appearing, saying they are Christ, trying to stand in his place, that is Antichrist. Thirdly, the papal system is Antichrist. The reformers were very clear on that, based on the identifying characteristics of Revelation 13, verses 1 through 10, and also Daniel chapter 7. Antichrist is also the papal system. But friends, the final manifestation of Antichrist will be just as the other churches believe, by the way, many of them believe that some figure will one day appear and will claim to be will claim to be Jesus Christ. And it won't just be like the other people who have arisen throughout history claiming to be him. But this figure will rise to world dominance. And friends, we believe the same, but we actually believe it's not some child that was born in some place
in Russia called Nicholas, and he grew up to be Satan. He was Satan's son, and he became the ultimate Antichrist figure. No, this is where we also differ from the other churches. We actually believe that Satan himself will manifest himself as an angel of light, even as Christ Jesus. He will appear. And when that happens and he works the miracles, then what will happen is that the law of God will be made void in the world. Rebellion against God's holy law will be fully ripe. But the true leader of all this rebellion is Satan, clothed as an angel of light. Well, men will be deceived and will exalt him. This is how you know it's not just agents he's working through. He himself will show up on the scenes. How do you know this? Men will be deceived and will exalt him to the place of God and deify him. That means place him on God status. So, friends, what we're looking at here, and this is the reason I'm saying this to us, is because Ellen White, in this prophecy, makes a dual application of Revelation 13, verses 13 and 14. Yes, she compares it to the time when there will be a false revival by Satan in the fallen churches, because and miracles and signs and wonders will be done. But as this revival is happening, Satan himself will show up on the scenes. As this false revival he is causing in the churches, he himself will show up on the scenes as these miracles are happening, and he will cause fire to come down from heaven. In other words, it will create, while the miracles he'll be doing, him and his fallen angels will be doing in the churches, will cause a draw. Many people will be deceived and drawn in, to cause an even greater draw of humanity into deception. He will then show up at that very time, doing wonders and miracles. And friends, as this happens, the deception will be complete. There will be no more, there will not be anything else. Now notice, so when it comes to the Jews, many of them, apart from the Messianic Jews, believe that Christ was an imposter. The people who are a part of the religion of Islam, friends, they may see Jesus as a great figure, but not as God. They do not see him as God. They may see him as a powerful figure in their writings, in the writings of the Quran, but they do not see him as God, friends. So do you realize what we're seeing here? This is why the revival starts in Christianity. We are not seeing, as many are teaching, that all of a sudden there will be this kind of new age religion where all of a sudden there will be a conglomeration of all the religions and everyone will just be able to do what they want and they will follow this Antichrist figure. Friends, what we are seeing here is that Satan shows up as Jesus, and the Muslim and the atheist and the Jew who dare not deify Jesus will accept a counterfeit version of Christianity, because that's what Satan will be pushing at the end of time. That means, friends, yeah, we may be looking at a one-world religion, but it is actually the religion of false Christianity. It's not some new age, one-world conglomeration where everybody gets to do what they want. No, friend, because of these miracles, people who will never dare worship Christ as God will give up their belief systems, lay them aside to accept this Christ figure, who's really Satan, to accept him and the false Christianity among the fallen churches. That's what we're seeing here. Men will be deceived and will exalt him, Satan, to the place of God and deify him. But omnipotence will interpose churches that unite in the exaltation of Satan. The sentence will go forth. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and shall be utterly utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. As the second appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ draws near, satanic agencies are moved from beneath. Satan will not only appear as a human being, but he will personate Jesus Christ, and the world that has rejected the truth will receive him as the Lord of Lords. Do you see that? The world, friends. That includes the Muslim. That includes the atheist. That includes the agnostic. That includes the Jew. These people will lay aside their religion to exalt Satan, who is appearing as who? Jesus Christ. And the world that has rejected the truth will receive him as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Friends, do you see that? So what we're looking at here is the reality that Revelation 13, verses 13 and 14, which takes place prior to the close of probation, is a reference not only to the false revival that will happen in Christendom because of the signs and wonders that Satan and his angels will be working in these churches, but also because at the same time Satan is working these wonders through the churches, he himself will appear at that time while these miracles are being wrought, before probation closes. And as he does this work, it will only further the initiative of the false Christianity that will be experiencing this false revival. And as these miracles take place, you can only guess what will happen. What will happen? According to Revelation chapter 13 and verse 14, it says, "And besiege them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which you had power to do in the sight of the first beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth," what? "That they should make an image to the first beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live." So do you see what happens? As a result of the false Christianity, the miracles within false Christendom, and Satan appearing as Christ to only further those miracles, what then happens? The image of the beast is set up. This is how the world, do you see now how this thing will take place? It's not because of, friends, some COVID agenda. It's not because of some disaster. It is as all these things come together and play a part, as the world gets worse, in regardless of whether it's a pestilence, famines, as the world becomes more chaotic and God's people begin to do the work that he has called them to do in the midst of that chaos, Satan will begin to see the sparks of revival among God's true people. And so what will he do, as we read? Just prior to that spark becoming a loud power, just before that spark erupts into a loud cry, Satan will see the spark, start off his own false revival in these churches through miracles. He himself will then show up. And once the world sees him and realizes that he agrees with the agenda of the fallen churches and also the agenda of the papacy and Sunday veneration, friends, what will he be able to cause the world to do? Uniting with false Christianity and the papacy, he will cause the world to make an image to the papal system. And that image, by the way, is a symbol of how the first beast ruled. That's why it says to make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Who's that? That's the papacy. Received the wound in 1798. And what was the wound? Friends, the wound basically was the undoing of the image. You see, in order for an image to the first beast to be set up, it is a likeness to the first beast. That's what it means. And how did the first beast rule? It ruled by the uniting of church and state, the church dictating to the state what to do. So that means if an image, a likeness to the first beast is to be set up, that has to mean then that there's coming a time where, because of the miracles in these fallen churches and Satan showing up himself to further these miracles, what will happen is that in this very nation, church and state will unite and the ripple effects will be felt and copied throughout the world. So friends, the reason why this is so crucial to remember is what we're beginning to see is that, contrary to popular teaching, Satan does not appear after probation closes. Satan actually appears before probation closes. He actually appears and does miracles to lead people astray. In the time when people are still making decisions, he doesn't just appear after the close of probation. Yes, there's aspects of that noted in the spirit of prophecy, but as we're seeing now, that's not the only time he appears. He doesn't appear just when all cases are decided. He appears when cases are still being decided, when people are still making decisions. Revelation 13, verses 13 and 14 is prior to the close of probation. So that means, friends, once the people of God begin getting their acts together, this will be a sudden event. Can you see that? Okay. I pray that you can see that, friends. Because if, friends, if what the Bible is showing us here, is something that will take place suddenly. This is why we truly need to be in the Word of God. Because as more and more of God's people begin to get ready, begin to fall in line with his work, Satan, just seeing the sparks, will be able to recognize something greater is coming. This thing is about to swell. The people of God are beginning to unify. As he sees that, he works in the midst of the churches, and he himself shows up as Christ. Can you imagine this? One day, you get up and you hear everywhere, someone has shown up and he has the power that Christ displayed in days of old. And he's appearing everywhere. And he's supporting the message of these Christians. Fallen Christian churches, of course, they won't see it as fallen Christian churches. But how do we know, and how do we know that? How do we know he will support their message as he shows up? I read this statement to you as we wrap up here. I want to read this statement to you guys. All right? Let me get it for you guys. Give me 1 second. I want to make sure I get the exact words for you. Here it is. It is found in the Great Controversy, 624. How do we know his message will agree with the fallen churches and the papal system? The people prostrate themselves. We already seen it in the Bible, because with the image of the beast to be set up, church and state to unite, and then we know what comes right after. It's not just the image of the beast, but the mark of the beast comes right after. Because as church and state unites, the church can then tell the state to implement Sunday sacredness. Well, we are also told this in the spirit of prophecy, for it states, the people prostrate themselves in adoration before him. That's when Satan shows up as Christ. While he lifts up his hands and pronounces a blessing upon them, as Christ blessed his disciples when he was upon the earth, his voice is soft and subdued, yet full of melody. In gentle, compassionate tones, he presents some of the same gracious heavenly truths which the Savior uttered. He heals the diseases of the people. And then, in his assumed character of Christ, he claims to have changed the Sabbath to Sunday and commands all to hallow the day which he has blessed. That is the very message of the fallen churches and the papacy. So you see why people will now make an image of the papacy? You see now why the United States, Christianity in the United States, though many of them are anti-Catholic, they will then make an image to the papal system? Because when Satan shows up as Christ and works miracles, even causing fires to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, friends, people will give in. Because what will their religion be based on? Not the word of God, but on emotion and what they see. They would not have learned to guard their senses, to even subject their senses to the truth of the word of God. And this is why my prayer is for us as we close, that we may daily spend time with the genuine Christ, that we may know the true from the false when the time comes. And not just know in the sense of hearing and in the sense of sight, to know that we know based on Scripture and our experience with the true Christ, that this cannot be Jesus Christ. This is my prayer for us today, friends. I pray that this made sense. Satan is not coming after the close of probation only. He is also going to show up before probation closes, and he's going to show up to kick off everything in the final setup of the events that will soon transpire. Father in heaven, I pray that this made sense. I pray, O God, guide us and strengthen us and continue to give us wisdom that we may understand your word. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I pray, O God, help us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Akeem, for the message. A message that we need to hear, and to remind us that Satan is not playing. But the time, these times seem to be at ease, but it's coming to a tougher time. But I thank God for you bringing in the message to us very straight. And I'm going to just lift up my brothers and sisters, because I have one question for you to answer for us. Now, spirit of prophecy is a statement. I'm going to make a statement then. The spirit of prophecy tell us we can go in the country in small groups, and therefore that we can help one another. But why is it so many people that say they are followers of Christ, but yet we have so many that so fearful of I don't know the sentence of fearful, but so many that, you know, it pretty much seems like it's more selfish. They don't want this one. I don't know. It's just seem like people are going to the country providing for just themselves and not, you know, not as sisters and brothers. We're not close. We're not binding. We are more it's for me and my children or you know, I don't understand it, you know. Adventists and what prophecy talk about, you know, and what Christ's followers, we are supposed to be strong together. And the Bible tells us, strong, we will stand united. But as we divide it, so question, how can we be so divided? And what the Bible tells us, if we are strong and united, you know, we can stand. And, you know, it's just seeing so much of this today. Do you see it, or you can answer that for me?
It's very interesting that you should mention this. I'm going to do some more research on this, but one of the things that I do know is that, for example, in Inspiration, it actually tells us that as we move out to the country, that we should, our neighbor, she actually mentions, it's very interesting, that we should have enough, in a sense, kind of acreage where we're not even able to see our neighbor. But there's a catch to it, and I see what you're saying. It is the idea, I'll give a story of one of my friends. He had moved over to a place where he was going to help this older woman. and she was living, I believe it's on 15 acres of land, very serious about the Country Living Council. And she says, as you come here, I'll help you. I just need you to help me as she was older and stuff like that. There's things that she couldn't do and she would need help with. And so he said he would go. And so he ended up going. And as he went, it was one of the worst experiences that he ever had, because as he began to try to gain counsel from the lady about how he could get resources over there so that he can get a house or get a property for him and his soon-to-be family, the lady would not give him any insights. Not only that, this lady had learned how to can foods and all of these things and how to get resources from certain places, because she wasn't just living in the sense of being in the sense of doing country living, but she was also a doomsday prepper. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that. So you move
say that
out
again?
You a doomsday prepper. So it's the idea.
I don't understand that.
Okay, so basically the term is, it means that one day everyone believes that, and Seventh-day Adventists, we're not doomsday preppers, but we believe that a crisis is coming. But some people believe that something is going to happen so decisive where it's going to be on an apocalyptic level. And so they're hiding away food. They've created bunkers underground, or they're storing food for that situation. And you have people that take it really far. As I said, they build underground tunnels. So when it happens and the government comes after them, they'll be able to go underground and stuff like that. Now, the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of prophecy speaks against that kind of preparation. The idea is to move out into the country, not because we're like that, because when the end of time comes, when the end of the end comes, I should say, friends, no bunker, no amount of hiding away will be able to protect us, right? So with the technologies that they're creating today, it doesn't matter how you hide. Unless God covers you as you're running to the hills, you will be found. And so, but he noticed that she had so many resources and she was hiding away things and storing things out. He was like, man, I wish I could have some of these resources, because they were good resources. And she would not tell him. She would not tell him where she got it. She would not tell him the resources that she had.
And that is the problem. What is wrong with these Seventh-day Adventists? They are hiding things when Christ says, even the worms, things going, and they could die before they even try to eat it or whatever they're going to do. Why are they going to such extreme and not help others? Now, this guy could have been a very good potential help for her, could take care of her. He's that old. I'm telling you. I've seen some. I've seen and I've heard some things about us. It's just out the box, my question. And I had another question, but I can't remember. But Brother Eli, he just have a question for you. So, Brother Eli, make it brief. So we can let Brother Akeem go, okay? So, Brother Eli, line is open.
Amen. Hello, Sister Miola and Brother Akeem James. Sister Miola and Brother Akeem James, you want me to close with a word of prayer, too, after the question? Because I have a question for Brother Akeem. Brother Akeem, how come people are not helping each other? Because people are fighting one another, and it's not not like Brother Akeem James, because brothers and sisters should get along with each other because of, as my
That's
neighbor,
right.
They should get along. They should get along with each other, even if the person doing something wrong, you have to forgive them. You have to forgive them if they do something wrong to you. You have to forgive them. You have to love them, and you have to pray for them on your prayer closet too, and do your do seven songs and seven prayer after the prayer line, brothers and sisters. You need to do a prayer, brothers and sisters, because it's very important. Just like my dear sister Tabiko say on this line, my brothers and sisters, trust in the Lord. Remember, sister Tabiko say, brothers and sisters, trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Be obedient, brothers and sisters. Be faithful, brothers and sisters. Stay in prayer, brothers and sisters. More prayer,
amen.
More power, just like Sister Tabiko say. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. No, definitely agree. And I would say that one of the reasons that love is missing is because I think it all goes back to a relationship with Christ. If, as we spend time with Jesus together, we all will only want to help and support each other. And that was the sign. That was
right.
One of the greatest evidences within the New Testament church that caused it to flourish in Acts chapter 2. It actually states, and I'll read the statement, in Acts chapter 2, going there right now, it states in Acts chapter 2 at the very end, it says, after Peter preached his sermon, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And notice what it says, fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed, here it is, were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. So we're seeing here that they truly loved each other in the New Testament church, as it started off, people went as far as giving away property to get resources to give to other people who did not have. And that spirit, even though some do not have that spirit today, I believe that it will be revived, that some do have it, and that it will also be revived in many as we come closer and closer to the end.
Okay, then. Well, thank you, Brother Akeem, for that information, because truly, as we were reading earlier, it was in I think it was in the book of James, Works by Faith, how Christ said that they was destitute, faith without works, and if your brothers are hungry and destitute, and how in need of this and need of that, how can you say you have faith and love God, and then you see your brother and sisters without, and you know they need to go on land and they don't have land. So that was the question. So thank you so much, Brother Akeem, for bringing us this information. And next time, have us some information on why, if you can find in Spirit of Prophecy, because, that's what I wanted to mention. That go to show you the sign of the enemy is working right now. It's already in the world, how we are being selfish and offensive to one another. I believe that's happening. Satan is already working, brother. So have that information for us next time you come, if you don't mind, and you can share it with us, how we should come together and make it, because if we say we love Christ, we got to provide for those that don't have, the ones that don't
have.
But pray for that person, because the ones that don't have, if they don't have the love of Christ in them, how could you bring them with you if they're going to be shrewd and just downright rude and ungodly? We can't do that. Christ don't expect us to deal with people like that. But the ones that love God, those are the ones you're supposed to embrace. So have us some information, brother, so we can write that down and study it. Amen?
Yes.
So
Amen.
Thank you,
Amen.
Brother.
Amen.
So message and the love that you put into it, because it has to be the love of God for you to bring us this information. This going to come up to us when God, when we go and tell God, oh, I didn't hear. People going to have so many excuses. Oh, God, let me in. I didn't hear about this. I didn't know about this. God going to say, I don't know you, because you have no excuse. You had an opportunity to be on the prayer line to listen. But I want to thank you so much, because you take time out to come bring us this, and God bless you. And may you have some information for us next time. Amen. So thank you once again.
Amen.
And God bless you and your family. Thank you. And y'all have a blessed evening, my sisters and brothers. And especially, sisters and brothers, we do have the people from Japan. It's Canada. We have a couple of the Netherlands. We have more countries that join us on the prayer line. So we want to thank everyone that come on and join, because you could be somewhere else, but you come and listen to this prayer line. So thank you very much. Amen. And I'll play the song.
Jesus said, many are called, few are chosen. Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. But of those who fight on the
steps to Christ.
Jesus said,
can you believe this thing?
Steps to Christ. Chapter 2.
Can you believe this thing? Oh, my. I'm going to leave that thing, and God bless everyone. Bye-bye.
Jesus said,